Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 27th of July. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear. And more importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. On tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our freshwater reporters check in, and we will, as always, finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next full moon is on the 28th, tomorrow. A full moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 180 degrees. At this time, 100% of the moon's visible surface is illuminated. What does it mean? Well, around the time of the full moon, fish are sluggish and less likely to strike at your choice of fly. You still go fishing, of course you do. You just have to put in more time and effort. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite, full moon, fisherman's folly. The Sporting Life Winter Fly Fishing Festival is back on again. It's held in Tūrangi, and this year will be Saturday, August the 11th. Now, this event has become the number one instructional and social meetup of the fly fishing calendar. You get to try all the latest in fly fishing techniques and try out all the latest gear. It's fantastic. August the 11th, Tūrangi. Now, you need to register your interest, and you just do that by going to the Sporting Life store in Tūrangi, or you can call them on 07 386 8996 or email them on sport.life@extra.co.nz. Now, if you register online, it is free, isn't it? No charge or anything. You do become eligible for all sorts of spot prizes. As we were talking to Craig Caldwell last week, you would have noticed that many rivers have closed and it is prohibited to fish them. Now, for regular anglers like Craig and myself and stuff like that, we know all the rules pretty much off by heart. If you're new to fishing or you're moving to another region, you need to be aware that different regions have different rules, and it is the angler's responsibility to know the regulations and to have a current license. Now, the best way to do this is to go to the Fish and Game website, which is fishandgame.org.nz, and select the region you wish to fish. All the information is quickly and freely available. Now, if you're fishing the Taupo Tūrangi region, you will need a separate license, and the season start and finish dates are different. All the information for Taupo Tūrangi region is on the Department of Conservation website, doc.govt.nz. Remember, as I said before, it is the angler's responsibility to know the regulations. Now, if you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pamatextra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, let's look at some weather with Met Service. If you want to do some saltwater fly fishing in the Auckland region, the Auckland Marine Forecast, the situation. An unsettled westerly flow covers the area until the front crosses the country from the south late Saturday through Sunday, followed by a ridge building late Sunday. Another front crosses the area on Tuesday. The forecast for Manukau and Waitemata harbours Saturday, westerly 15 knots, easing to 10 knots in the evening. Sea slight, cloudy periods with fair visibility and a few showers. Manukau and Waitemata on Sunday, rising to westerly 25 knots early, occasional showers clearing later. Be careful out in the ocean. Met Service Waikato, Saturday, cloudy periods with a few showers, westerlies. Sunday in the Waikato region, showers clearing in the evening, northwesterlies turning southwesterly strong at times. If you're fishing the Rotorua region tomorrow, fine spells with a few showers until the evening, westerlies. Sunday in Rotorua, a few showers developing in the morning, clearing later, a southwest change. Taupo, Saturday, cloudy periods with a few showers, mainly in the afternoon, westerlies. Sunday in the Taupo region, partly cloudy with showers, clearing in the evening, northwesterlies turning southwest in the evening. Now, if you're over in Taumarunui, forecast for Saturday, cloudy periods with occasional showers, westerlies. Sunday in Taumarunui, partly cloudy with showers, clearing in the evening, northwesterlies turning southwest in the evening. For our anglers in the South Island and Canterbury Plains region, Saturday, variable high cloud, northwesterlies. Sunday on the Canterbury Plains, scattered rain spreading north in the morning, then retreating to the coast by evening. Southwesterlies developing in the morning, easing in the evening. Thanks to Met Service for those reports, we do appreciate that. Let's look at some river levels. The Pūnu River is 23 kilometres south of Tauamutu. Remember that above Sea Fun Road is closed. Downstream of Sea Fun Road is open all year. The Pūnu that late this afternoon was at 9.35 metres. However, it's flowing at 18 cubic metres per second. It's too fast to fish, dirty. Mangatūtu's closed. Don't go there. The Ohanamuri River measured at Karangahake between Pairua and Waihi is at 12.2 metres and falling. It's flowing at 14 cumecs, dirty. The Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.4 of a metre, about the same as last week. And the Waipa River measured at Otiwa is at 75.9 metres, falling. However, it's flowing at 13 cubic metres per second. Dirty, too fast to fish. Nongataha River, remember above the state highway is closed. You can fish below that down through town. Nongataha River this afternoon was at 0.87 of a metre and dropping. Whakapapa River's closed, don't go there. The Whanganui River measured at Piriaka is at 27.4 cubic metres per second. Now that's down from a high of 87 cubic metres per second. The Tongariro measured at Turangi is at 29.7 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 67. Those last two rivers are dropping and clearing. As we heard in the forecast, rain is expected on Sunday. These rivers will rise after that. Get in tomorrow, enjoy the fishing. As always, be careful when wading. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council, and Genesis Energy for that information. Real-time monitoring on active weed sites. Thank you. Okay, a quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. Listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Stella Gordon is a long-time resident of the Taupo Turangi area, and Stella is an expert on fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. And Stella, as always, is live on air right now. Good evening, Stella.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Are you well down there?
We're great, thank you. Really good.
Okay, what's happened to the weather in the last week?
We've had an extremely wet week again. We had 80 mils over Saturday and Sunday, which had a profound effect on the fishery, as you can well imagine. The week, though, has been a little bit more realistic. We've had patches of rain and some very strong wind, but apart from that, we've had a bit of fog, we've had some frost, and we've had plenty of sunshine. So generally, it's really sort of been almost like monsoon weather, where it's been freezing cold, very windy, rainy, then sunshiny. And it's just been everything in a day, as you can well imagine. Yeah. But generally speaking, towards the end of the week, the fishing's actually sorted itself out, and it's looking very, very positive.
Okay. I looked at websites, Genesis Energy, late this afternoon. Tongariro shot up to 80 cubics a couple of days ago.
I have no doubt. We've had some very, very heavy rain, especially in the lower end of the lake. We certainly haven't had that. It's sort of gone right round us, actually. It's sort of come in and around and licked up, gone up the Kaimanawas, and we've actually been on the edge of that, or the cusp, so we haven't actually got it, but certainly you've really seen that. And also they had a couple of really heavy frosts, which we didn't really get here. We had a frost followed by a little bit of wind and then a little bit of rain, and yeah, so it sort of melted it. So we've been quite lucky, but they've certainly had quite a lot of extremes this week.
Okay, but typical weather, it's all over the show, typical New Zealand weather.
It's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, you look at the rest of the world, you look at Athens and some of these, it's just simply unbelievable. Alaska, where they've got these shocking fires as well, and, you know, you just begin to wonder. I see there's something written in the paper with regards to global warming, and which I obviously don't aspire to, but in reality, it's interesting you have these, you know, such extremes. But then we do have technology which reports these rapidly and quickly, and so therefore we probably know a lot more about the world now than we ever did.
That's right. Well, we can find out a fire in Athens. We know about it the same time it's happening.
That's right.
In the old days, it took 3 months for the newspapers to get here.
That's right, exactly.
So you've got to be a bit careful about that. Yes, that's quite a good point. Okay, your forecast looks more reasonable for Saturday, Sunday, partly cloudy with showers, but not too bad at all, actually.
It's really interesting, you know, I mean, it's just, as I always often say, it's a matter of waking up in the morning and having a look outside to see what's actually going to happen. The weather has been kind of on point and off point, so therefore, you know, we have got a little bit of what they've actually forecast, but quite often we've actually erred on the side of, you know, we've had, it's been a lot better than what they've said. So I think possibly even tonight we've had quite heavy rain. It feels as though it's clearing, and let's hope it may have actually moved through, but, you know, there is some forecast snow in the forecast, so maybe there's a little southerly that's going to whip up, so that in itself will be good. That always brings a few fish.
Well, that's right. Now, can we have a roundup, please, of the rivers and the lakes in your region?
Certainly. Obviously, the earlier part of the week you had the Hinemaia and the Waitanui that had only had a little bit of runoff, so therefore, naturally, everyone was gravitated towards the two spring fed. And there probably wasn't the pressure that you'd normally expect. We've had school holidays, so therefore it was relatively easy in that earlier part of the week. We simply didn't have the opportunity to fish the rivers, so therefore Hinemaia and Waitanui had a little bit of pressure, but not lots. Lower section, midsection of the Hinemaia has probably fished a little bit better than the Waitanui. The Waitanui has been quite hard, even though it's got a very well-defined rip, but the fishing has been quite hard for some time, which is something which is a little bit odd, and whether that has got anything to do with the fact that the river mouth has been along the beach, and then it's now, obviously, the lake level's come up again, so therefore it's ripping out, so therefore let's hope that those fish that have been hanging around the mouth will move. The Hanimaya has fished particularly well, there's no doubt about that, and it's had a lot of pressure, which it normally does when the other rivers are all up and dirty, and today a little less pressure than perhaps it's had in the earlier part of the week, but still continuing to fish relatively well, both to the wet and the nymphas, and also those living fishing off the mouth. We've had some windy nights, but daytime fishing has been actually, it's the daytime hasn't really, we haven't had a lot of wind. The TT, Waimarino, we've had a lot of rain in the Kaimana catchment, Waitaka as well, and that's certainly taken a moment or two to ease out. As I said, on Sunday night we had Saturday-Sunday collective of 80 mils. In actual fact, Sunday we had 80 mils, which was a phenomenal amount of rain over a very short period of time. So certainly the rivers were up very rapidly, and they've steadily dropped away, which has been good. Fishing the early part of the week was pretty hard. The wet liners appeared on sort of Wednesday and fished the bottom end, especially of the TT and the Waimarino, and as a result of the last couple of days, as those rivers have slightly cleared and dropped away, those fish have moved, and the fishing has been fairly spectacular. Tongariro likewise has had a lot of rain, but luckily being hydro-controlled, naturally you can control that to some degree. So that dropped away and was fishable before our catchment-fed rivers, and once again, right throughout the river has fished fairly consistently. Must admit that those that have fished perhaps the upper part of the Tongariro have found a little harder, but certainly middle and lower reaches. Really fickle, the Tongariro. It's either all on or all off, and I think sometimes it's just a matter of covering water and fishing two or three little spots that you may know to find where those fish are holding, and that's just the nature of the beast. The fact is that we have had a lot of rain. A lot of those fish have been displaced. There's a lot of debris, as you can well imagine, and shingle, which actually moves, which with those big freshes, and especially in the Waimarino, Waitaka and TT, similarly. And I think, too, if you actually, for us who've lived here for a very long time and who are well aware of the levels on the Tauranga, we've really noticed that since the telemetry station's gone back and it isn't in the same position, it isn't reading correctly, and one does need to be, if you are aware of the telemetry station as it was, and QMAX and things like that, it is, it certainly is reading a lot lower, perhaps, than it should do, and so therefore at times when you think you may be able to cross the river, you can't.
Okay,
so
well,
it's really, it's a matter of being very careful.
Okay, I wasn't aware that there was a problem with the readings.
It's just that those that know the river so well, and there's definitely some discrepancy, we feel. It's just that the nature of the river has changed quite dramatically over the last 20 years, as you can well imagine, and we have these significant freshes, and where the telemetry station was and the telemetry station's been reinstated, the levels possibly are... We feel that they're out. Environmental Waikato may have a different opinion, but certainly you do need to be very wary, whereas in you get very used to levels, and you have markers like the Red Gate or the Pump Pool or, you know, the Swale and those sorts of places. Naturally, with the telemetry station, to some degree, we were able to tell what was going on and when and where, and now that has... it is certainly quite different to what we had before, so you do need to be particularly careful if you're crossing the river. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of that shingle in the bottom of that river has been displaced. There's been quite a lot of movement with regards to around what was the Crescent area and remedial works, which is done by Environmental Waikato, which has changed that middle section quite significantly. Whether it's going to be good and whether it's going to be bad is hard to know at this point in time, as the remedial work that was done to stop the river moving has definitely failed due to the fact it was made out of shingle, and so therefore the first fresh it's actually moved. So naturally, with large amounts of water, the bottom of the river does change quite quickly.
Yes. Okay, that's very interesting you say that about those measuring stations, because I use Environment Waikato Genesis Energy on a regular basis. Before I drive for 3 hours or summer, I look at the river flows, the levels, QMAX particularly, and in places where I fish on the Waipa River above Otiwa and below Tawa Bridge.
Yes.
I need to know that it's below 7 QMAX, or else I'm going to get stuck on one. But you know what I mean? You just get
I think in reality, for those that haven't changed in a very lengthy period and you become particularly familiar with them, there's no problem whatsoever. But, you know, our river has moved considerably and changed over the period of time. If you think about it, it used to be deep and channeled. It was encroached with willows. It was mined as such, so therefore the shingle was taken out of that middle section with the quarry being active, and the quarry has been active over the last 3 or 4 months and is due to be utilised, I think, for a considerable period looking forward. But the situation is that over the period of a number of years since 1987, and you know, the change in the uses of the land and the fact that the quarry closed, the mining or the taking the shingle out of the river has changed, so therefore there has been a tremendous amount of shingle that has built up over a very short period of time, and it moves so dramatically with these big freshes that we do have. When it was deep and channel, it was no problem. We had a very, you know, concise and handle on the depth of the river, and also the telemetry station was there, so therefore it was easy to measure it against different parts of the river, which didn't change. Now, because the shingle moves, even if you survey it, which has been surveyed many times, I know, in recent years, but that shingle just simply moves and fills up another little spot, as you can well imagine. And if you don't put a telemetry station back in exactly the right place, it's very difficult to have correct measures. Mm. And I do believe, from talking to the guys at Environmental Waikato, especially the younger guys in recent years, the information is new information, it's not old information. So if you think about the information that we have had, we've got the old information, so we're well aware of measuring and measure points, if you understand what I mean. We've used that. It's just like when you go hunting, where you've got your points that you relate to. And so, therefore, if you're a new angler who isn't aware of those points and the fluctuation in river flow and all those sorts of things, you know, one has to be particularly careful. But definitely there's some discrepancies, I believe, in what is said.
Okay, that's very interesting. Yeah, well pointed out. Now, you said the rivers are all pretty damn good. What about the big lake itself? How's Lake Taupo?
Well, we've had a little bit of wind this week, which is most unusual. But prior to that, the wind over the last couple of days. But most of that has been nightly or up early in the morning and dropped away. But through the last 2 weeks, which has been, you know, really a fantastic school holidays, we certainly had a significant number of anglers and boaties that got out on the lake, which was really good. Not only were they out in their boats fishing the whole lake, but we've got a team of fishermen who are younger fishermen who have introduced their children who fish the inside the 200 metre mark or just beyond. A lot of them are in kayaks, and the children are in kayaks as well. Okay. And yeah, the fishing's actually been fairly consistent, which is really good. So there's a really, you know, positive feeling, and I think too with these guys that have come in recent years who have actually started to learn about the fishery as a whole, they don't have any perception other than the fact that the fish are there, so they fish until they find a fish, and then when they find a fish, they document, lock it in, and over a period of time they determine a pattern, which, like all the old fishermen, like we do, and so therefore, you know, they don't think anything of the fact that maybe it's not a time of the year that you would necessarily be on the lake. But yeah, we have been so fortunate that in the last 2 years we simply have not had the wind, and so therefore we've been able to do a great deal more fishing on the lake. And so therefore, in doing that, and those, you've got more hours, more days, it means that you learn about it and gather that information, so it's good. So, yep, the fish are still deep, surprisingly enough, even though there are significant numbers of fish that are still holding around the mouths and moving. But the lake temperature, even though we've had some considerably colder, you know, very, very cold frosts and heavy frosts and snowy patches, the lake temperature is still around about 12 degrees, which is really surprisingly warm. And so those fish are still quite deep. So those that are fishing deeper have been picking up fish. Those that are fishing across the deeper water, but fishing perhaps first thing, picking up fish harling as well as fishing, you know, around 30 or 25 metres. So it's been interesting, actually.
Good, and good to see younger people out on the lake catching fish and all that as well.
There are a lot of young families. You know, if you think about the lake area and, you know, the homes have been built and holiday homes and those sorts of things, and it's, you know, it's really, really fantastic to see young families and people that are actually taking up the sport. Very, very positive.
That is good. Now, talking about young people taking up sport, your new licence has started 3.5 weeks ago or so. Any comment about that? Do you think
significant
that
number of people that are coming back into the fishery who haven't been here for 4 or 5 years? A significant number, really, really interesting. And that's just, I mean, obviously we've got a significant number of people that are retired now. And today, in fact, we probably had, I would say 12, 15 people that came looking for licences who weren't aware that licences were online, irritated because they couldn't necessarily get licences. And also the fact is, you know, up until, you know, a year or so ago, there were quite a number of people that had the facilitation whereby you could actually use their computer and purchase the fishing licence online, even though it wasn't perhaps a fishing tackle shop or business, but it was just the facilitation that they had, were enabling. Yes. But as time's gone on and life becomes a little bit more expensive and the businesses have changed, and a significant number of these smaller businesses that perhaps would always have provided a licence are now run by people who aren't perhaps aware of the fishery and the importance of licences. So therefore, yeah, there is still some very significant issues around licences and being able to get hold of them.
Okay.
And frustration, because, you know, today most of those people, there's a big group that have come down from Auckland, they're all staying locally. They've always been able to just pop into the shop. Well, here, for example, because that's where they headed, they buy their flies, they buy their coffee, they buy their bits and pieces, and they buy their licence. And it is irritating when you are not able to provide a service which you have always been able to do, and for which is to the benefit of the fishery, encouraging people to come back. And if you think of, you know, there's probably 2,000 outlets once upon a time, 4 or 5 years ago, who did provide licences, and for the, and most in the long, you know, if you actually look at it realistically, most would have bought a season which encourages them back into the fishery, which is very important. And now people would, because of the fact that it's more difficult to get what they want, they will tend to buy, for example, we're able to sell a day licence, which is unbelievable, but they'll buy a day licence, which doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be back in the fishery. They may enjoy their fishing, but if they have a season's licence and purchase it at that time, they'll always come back.
I understand, yeah. Doc, need to imagine this. Doc set up some, like, ATM type of machines in shopping malls or at petrol stations or at your store.
Well, I mean, the hardest thing is for us is not having consistent broadband. So therefore, the Lake Edge is known for the fact that it hasn't got consistent. And so therefore, even though it is improving, it is still not consistent. We have lots of breaks and lots of issues. So therefore, even though we've had the system in place, we are not necessarily able to always provide a license because of the fact is that the system is not, you know, I mean, we all know about broadband. I mean, you can be in the middle of Wellington and the demand is so great and so it's so slow. The difficulty is that a person who comes in wants to buy a license, it takes 3 minutes to write a license.
Okay,
and
yes.
pay for it, and off they're out on the river, whereas to do a licence online takes considerably longer. And, you know, I mean, you've got to think of the convenience and the majority of people today don't necessarily have an iPhone, don't necessarily have a credit card if they're retired, and don't necessarily have a printer. So, therefore, it's not always convenient for them to be able to get a licence. So, to be able to pop into your corner dairy, as you say, at 5 o'clock in the morning, if that's the time they've driven down from Auckland and they want to be on the water at 6... Not everyone's open at 6 o'clock in the morning. If you understand, you know what I mean.
They've really got to think about it. They've got to sort.
Well, there's been no thought, and it doesn't matter. There's no relationship with retail and Doc. Doc don't understand that. In reality, every business did their compliance. Every business provided free advertising by actually selling their licences. Once that's been taken away, no one's doing the advertising, and so therefore, I'm not saying that it's not efficient. I mean, we do live in a society which is technologically, we do have little cards and it's systematic where everything is online, so therefore we can provide, you know, it's very convenient. But the main issue is that we don't have compliance because on your little chips that you get, there is not really any provision to put the regulations. So therefore now, this week we've had numerous situations where we've had tourists that have been spin fishing up and down the Tauranga Taupo River. And I mean, that's a matter of course because number one, they don't have a licence, and number two, they don't know they're allowed to spin fish.
Remember the old paper license? Used to even have a map of Lake Taupo and the rivers on the back?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. And that's what people... I mean, we do that all day, every day. Every single day, we speak to people, hundreds of people who want a map, want to know what's going on, want to know where they can go. And, you know, it's just a matter of course. So, and also, a very large percentage of them who are tourists who want to fish just for the day want to take their license home so they can show the fact that they've actually got a licence. They don't want a piece of paper which says this is a licence.
Yeah, I understand.
It's sad, really. But anyway, it's life, and let's move on. But practically, it wasn't well thought through.
Okay, now let's wrap it up quickly. The weather this week, as I said, cloudy, not shower, not too bad. Angler heading towards your destination, Te Apo Tūranga. Where should I go fishing and what fly would I use? What would you be doing?
Nunthing's probably the easiest because it's easy to come across more water and actually find out where those fish are. I think the Hanimaya, the TT, the Waimarino Waitaka and the Tongariro will be places where you'll be able to find fish. I don't think you need to go particularly far. I think there will be a little bit of pressure this weekend. Just obviously little glow bugs and naturals here in Copper. Pheasant tail if need be, but there's certainly plenty of fish, good quality fish, and fishing's going to be good this weekend. It's great.
Thank you, Stella. Now, how do people get hold of you, please?
Just call in at the store, which is obviously 30 minutes south of Taupo and 15 minutes north of Tūranga, north of the Tauranga Taupo Bridge. And if you need to give us a call, 07-3868-953 anytime. You're most welcome.
There's the offer, angler Stella Gordon. 07-3868-953. Pop into the store at Tūranga Eater, right by the banks of the Tauranga Te Apo River. Stella, lovely to catch up. Thanks for the
information. No problem. You have a great week and take care. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Stella.
Lovely.
Bye. Here's the offer, anglers. Just pop in. There's a fly shop, a gas station and a cafe. All in one. How good's that? Okay. Quick break and then more fishing stuff.
If he turns his back away, heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl. Heaven help us all.
Listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. And that's exactly why we want to talk to someone who lives, works and fishes in his particular area. Now, we do this live, so we don't pre-record anything. You're getting the latest information before you fish the weekend. Good evening, Bert.
Good evening, Cole.
Hey, well.
Yeah, not too bad. Hanging in there.
Okay, since we last spoke, like this time last Friday, what's the weather been? What's happening in Rotorua?
Well, it's been relatively calm, but we've got some rain coming in. We had a little bit of rain last night. We had quite a bit over the last 2 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a fair bit of cloud. We've got a very full moon. Not full yet, but very close. It's still plenty of fish coming in. And it's certainly worth getting out there, that is for sure.
Okay, your forecast, you're right, the full moon is tomorrow, and it's some unusual event. We've got the moon going down on one side of the earth and the sun coming up on the other, apparently.
Yeah, it's a blood moon, and we are probably one of the few places in the world where we actually have the moon and the sun up at the same time and still get the blood moon. How about that?
Now, I can't remember the name. It's a selenial lion or someone.
It's to do with the Earth going between the sun and the moon rather than the moon going between the sun and the Earth.
Yeah, so it's all a bit tricky. Pretty good. Anyway, Your forecast for tomorrow is fine spells, few showers. Sunday, a few showers. Actually, it's not too bad. Still reasonably warm, 13, 14 degrees.
Yeah, it's not too bad. We had a fairly cool night last night, but and it's a little cooler tonight too. But with the cloud cover coming over, it'll probably hold a bit more heat in, so it won't be too bad. Cloud cover's not overly thick at the moment, and the moon is up reasonably high at the moment. So it's coming up sort of, it's already up before dark, and it's going to be a little bit bright out there, and there's not a lot of wind, so it's going to be a little bit tough. But one of the things that you can get around that is by when you're out and about on the lakes and you're fishing and you've got a very still situation, just especially over deeper water, say like Rangiuru Bay or areas like that after landing, when you cast your line out, just let it count to about 10, 15, 20, whatever you want, and then start your retrieve. Okay. It allows your fly to drop down and allows the motion from the line hitting the water to dissipate.
Yes.
And the fish have a chance to calm down a bit. So
give them time.
You can just give it a bit of time and then start your retrieve.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. Stealthy approach.
Yep, and one of the other things too is if you do get a pull on the line, a lot of people actually strike at it, and it's probably the worst thing you can do. My suggestion is if you get a pull on the line, just give it a tweak back with your hand rather than your rod.
Yes.
It takes a bit of practice, but you can do it. So you give it a bit of a tweak and then leave it, and even perhaps push the rod forward. And what happens then is that the fly will actually flutter backwards.
Okay, yes.
And then you can start your retrieve again, and then push the rod, stop and push your rod forward again, and it'll flutter down again. And if the fish hasn't taken it by then, it will certainly do that about the time you start on your second lot of retrieves. Because what happens is they come and they'll smack something just to either miss it or they'll try and stun it and circle around and come back. And if your fly has been stripped away by your fly rod moving, usually in a vertical motion, which is not the best either, horizontal is better, it also pulls the line and the fly well away from where the fish was.
Okay, yes.
But if you do that little trick, what happens is the fly flutters backwards, like it would be if it was a stun fish.
Mm-hmm.
Give a few tweaks, it comes back up into swim motion and then flutters back down again when you stop and push the rod forward again.
See, there's
so it looks very realistic in the water. I can tell you, if you do it during the daytime, you can see exactly what happens. It's exactly like a stun fish.
Well, there you go. There's the tip, anglers. That's why we talk to people who live, work and fish in their particular regions for many, many years. Thank you, Bert. Now, I imagine the lake temperature is cooling down a bit.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty much bottomed out now. So okay. We haven't hit the equinox yet, so we're not getting longer days yet, but it's not that far away. And, we'll be heading back towards summer again. So it'll take a little while, probably not till the end of August, and we'll start to see some sort of rise. We're expecting quite a good cold snap to come through shortly from Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to chill down again for a bit. But, I heard from Fish and Game today that there are still fish coming into the liberation points, not in huge numbers, and it has been a little bit quieter than was expected this year, but there's still fish being caught. So it's just a matter of getting out there and doing it and putting in the time and trying all sorts of little tips and tricks.
Okay, yeah.
A night with a bit of wind is best, but if you come down and you're out there and it's a calm, still night, you've just got to be a little more patient. The other thing too is if there's not many of you around and you get the opportunity to be able to cast sideways, rather than 90 degrees out from the shore, to space your cast out. So you cast it, say, 45 degrees one way, next cast to be 45 the other way, and then one in the middle at 90, so you spread them around instead of hitting the same place all the time.
Okay.
So you're not likely to get... what'll happen if you keep doing that is that fish will shy away from that area.
Okay, yes, I understand. It's like the old situation in the river. You see some people get stuck in a position on the river for hour after hour.
Yep.
You've got to be adaptable, move around. As you say, change the place you cast. Don't cast the same place all the time.
Well, if you keep doing the same thing all the time, you get the same result all the time.
Correct.
And sometimes it's a really good result, and sometimes it isn't. Or most times it isn't.
Like your story about fish your feet first.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, many a chap's walked over all the fish,
yep,
cast miles out towards the other side of the lake, and the fish are actually behind them.
Yep. happens here every summer and pretty much every winter.
Now,
about thinking about what you're doing, you're chasing a wild animal.
Yes.
It is a form of hunting, and you've got to learn about your quarry, how it responds to stimuli, how it responds to food, all sorts of things about it. And it's not a matter of just chucking a fly and going out and throwing a line in the water. It can work. Obviously, it works better if you're chucking a line out with worm on the end of it. But where that's legal, that's quite fine. But, you know, if you're using artificials, there is no scent, no nothing. So you've got to be aware of that the ball is in the fish's court, in actual fact.
Yeah. Now, good point about that. At the top of the show, I just reminded people about some rivers being closed. You need to go to the Fish and Game website, in our case, and check the regulations, because there are different regulations, different opening, closing times, docks different again, and you need to make sure that you have a current license, and it is an angler's responsibility to know the rules.
Yeah, I know a couple of guys got caught out down Taupo way because they, the 1st of July is the new license down there, and they still had their old license.
Yeah.
A bit embarrassing for them, but... yeah, it's based on the financial year, I understand. So they get most of their money in at the beginning of the year so they can budget, and whatever else comes in is sort of a bonus to some extent. But yeah, the fishing is going to taper off in the lakes, but our rivers, the three rivers, the three main ones, of course, Waitati, Nongataha and Utuhina, are all going to continue to fish, and we're still going to get browns coming through. We've still got them coming through now at the moment. It's just a matter of getting out there and getting into them. And if you want to have a good, decent go of browns, then find a pool during the day that is nice and clear with plenty of room to cast. No chance of getting hooked up too much on the bottom or on the bank beside you. And you can sneak back down there just on dark and fish into the dark in that one particular spot, and you will start picking up browns as they move up the river, and there's some pretty good-sized chunky browns coming in at the moment.
All right, thank you for that, Pete. Your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm on 027-289-6079. Just text or phone, and I'll give you an update on what's happening.
Okay, there's the offer anglers, Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fly Fishing, 027-289-6079. Bert, we do appreciate it. Thanks for talking to us, and catch up next week.
Well, good. Oh, we should be here somewhere.
Thank you, Bert.
Okay,
see ya. Bye. Now, there you go. Bert Robinson, 027-289-6079. You can ring or text and say, which way is the wind blowing? Where do I go? What fly do I use? He's very happy to help out. Thank you. Okay, what time? We've got 32 seconds to go, so we've got time for the fly fishing tip of the week. And actually, this week, it's a quote. It's a quote from Henry David Thoreau. Quote, "Everyone should believe in something. I believe I'll go fishing." Thank you, Henry David Thoreau. I like that. Okay, Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Rod and Reel Newmarket have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear and then show you how to use it. How good is that? Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. and we're hoping to talk to Mr. Peter Scott, ex-New Zealand Fly Fishing Champion, President of Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand, and we'll have a good catch-up with him. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.